Hello and greetings, everyone. It is
Sister Amen
with Brother Tupos. What are we coming to do, Sister Amen?
Coming to edify the saints and maybe encourage a seeker.
Yeah, whoever's listening.
Yeah.
Edify and listening. Encourage. That's what we like to do. Hope you're all doing well. Beautiful, beautiful day today. Awesome weather. We worked online. We had to plan out our travels for this weekend, and we've got, I think, a good event coming up if the Lord lets us do it.
Let's see.
We're not going to talk about it yet, but it's going to be a good one if the Lord lets us do it. We got to witness along the way today. A lot of witnessing going on. I pulled up to a gas pump, and some guy says, "How's it going, street preacher?" And he caught me off guard. I said, "How do you know I'm a street preacher?" He goes, "That's your van, right?" And I said, "Yeah." And he just called me out as a street preacher, and he's part of a he was high-fiving me and talking all good about, yep, those churches are wrong and this and that. You're right. As soon as he told me, he's the president of a Christian Motorcycle Association. And I said, "Can I help you, sir?" I said, "They're not biblical. They're compromised." I said, "They don't call people in the world." He goes, "Yeah, I know." He goes, "A lot of smoking and drinking going in there and stuff, too." I said, "Yeah." I said, "That's not of God. You got to call people out of that." I said, "You can't add Jesus onto your passions. You got to make Jesus your passion." He wasn't high-fiving me after that.
Mm-mm.
He pretty much just said, "Okay, thanks a lot, man." But he put the gospel card. I love when people do this. Open his wallet, because he had his credit card out getting gas.
Oh, I know. I love that.
It took him like a minute to tuck the gospel card into a packed, stuffed wallet. It's in there. I know it's in there. Maybe he'll listen to it and read it and go to the website
other
time. How about you, Sister Amen? I know you witnessed today.
We pulled into a big parking lot, and Brother Tupos and I went for a walk in the store. I picked up a couple things. We came out, and Brother Akul was talking to a woman sitting on the curb, like a homeless woman sitting there.
Yep, a drifter.
Yeah, a drifter. And Brother Tupos went up there. Brother Tupos and I didn't know it was a woman until Brother Tupos got up there, and I was doing something in the van, and I come out, and he called me up there. And they'd already talked and shared the gospel with her, and the good news.
Yeah.
And so they left me to talk with her for a while. And I'll tell you what, it was really encouraging because it's amazing to me. These people, she's sitting on the curb. Just picture this in the middle of a parking lot. She's sitting on a curb. She's like the kind of people that the world would look down on and, just throw some money at and walk away. And I talked to her about it. I said, people don't care about people's souls. I got to talk to her for a while. She got more, wisdom.
I think you had like a 9-minute audio.
Yeah, and then I was still talking to her after that for quite a while.
She was a listener.
Yeah, and she had a lot to add to it. And it was really, it was a very endearing one because she actually talked in a manner that was like respectful about God. She had wisdom on it. I don't know all the details of where she is. She said she had a stroke and she has some issues for getting
We asked her if she had any needs and we were able to bless her with some things. So.
Yep. I checked with her and she's with her son and stuff. So yeah. I don't know. I guess I'm just kind of, it was awesome. It was like a blessing to me. And you know what I told her? I bent over and I said, "I love you as a person. I love you in Christ. Christ said, love your neighbor." She goes, "You know what? I love you too." She said, "I can see that in you."
Yeah.
Because
we go up, we talk to them. We don't just throw money at them or throw food at them. We go and talk to them and care
about
their souls, ask them how we can help them. And most of these people, just so you know, most of these people can get into shelters.
Yeah.
Most of these people can get help. A lot of them like being on the street because they like their freedom.
Yep.
A lot of them have drugs, alcohol, cigarette habits that the shelters won't let you keep. And so I've asked these men and they go, "I don't want to go in a shelter. They control me too much." That means don't smoke. Don't come in here drunk. So they stay on the street by choice. Nothing we can do for them other than give them some food, give them love, give them the gospel. And then every one of them gets our email and says, "Email us. We have resources. If you want to get off the street, we'll help you." We tell every one of them that we're ready to help any person get off the street. These people don't want to get off the street because they know they'd have to work.
And a lot of them do get like a disability.
Yep. Check. This lady said she was on Social Security.
Yeah.
So she got money.
Yeah. And most of them are healthy enough to work.
Yep. So that was a real blessing. You got to talk to her.
It was pretty awesome. Oh, it was such a blessing.
I was in a store and I'm looking at some stuff and this young guy's leaning over trying to look at my witnessing cane. And he goes, "Sir, can I read it?" And I walked up and showed him all three sides, and he goes, I love that stick. I said, why? He goes, I don't know. He goes, I just love it. And he looked at me, had the most serious look, and I witnessed the gospel to him over the counter, handed him a gospel card, and he just kind of like cocked his head, and he was just like listening like a robot, but he was intently listening. And I poured the gospel into him, warned him about the culture and the churches, and I said, go to my website. I said, email me. I'd love to help you know truth. He's like, thank you so much. He had to be 20 if he was a day, nice. You know, a very young man. And it was awesome. It was like perfect timing. I just walked by and he walked up to the counter. He wanted to know about my gospel sign. I got to witness to him.
Yeah. And what else did we do today?
We flew signs.
We flew gospel signs and got to witness to people on the street. Yeah. That was pretty awesome. I handed out this is in a super busy square where lots of cars were driving at each intersection. Hardly anybody was walking around, but I gave away 3, 4, 5 gospel cards out there.
Yeah, and you got to witness
to a group of young men, I think maybe high schoolers or something.
Yeah, and I witnessed to a man, and his dad came and pulled up, a church-going guy, witnessed to him.
Oh, wait, and as we were leaving, there was 2 young women, maybe high school. They were looking at the van. I said, hey, how you doing? Would you like a gospel card? And they came over, and I was able to talk to them for, a minute or so.
Yeah, they looked stunned and shocked when you said, watch out for the churches. They're all telling you lies. And they said,
yeah,
they are. And you said, yeah, check out our website. And they're like, oh, okay. And I was telling Brother Kuo, we're in the Bible Belt, and it shows you how people trust in churches. They're not trusted in Christ's truth.
Right, yeah.
So, yeah, we had really good witnessing, really good travels. And real quick, we got to our park spot here. There's a man sitting on the corner, a beggar drifter. I went to go talk to him. Lo and behold, I walked past a Spanish church, and I stood on the sidewalk. We got the audio. This will go up on our witnessing blast. And one of the pastors came out, and all I did was stand there, peacefully talk the gospel with him for 7 minutes. And what did he threaten to do, Sister Amin?
Call the Roman guards.
He said he'd call the police on me. I was standing outside. He came out. I was standing peaceful. You'll hear the audio. Brother Kuo even said, he goes, man, he goes, you could whisper to these people and they'll still call the police on you. I'm just standing there. And he said, you don't leave. We're going to call the police. And I said, what am I doing? He goes, you're a distraction. Because here's what he didn't like. I was talking to the assistant pastor and I said, the Pentecostal faith is not made of God. It's made of man. Boop, that was it. I told him enough truth. I told him that I shared the biblical gospel with him and warned him that he's being deceived, and wanted to call the police on me. So I just walked away and I said, wow, you don't love your neighbor and you don't love another believer very much. And I just kind of turned and walked away. So let the condemnation be upon him. I dusted my feet off.
Right. Good job.
So it was perfect timing. And then I went and witnessed to that drifter man, and he was actually listening, and I warned him about the broad road to destruction. He admitted he's on it, and he got the gospel card, and that was really touching too, because I could tell the gospel really stuck to him.
Yeah, you see the contrast?
Yeah.
Religious people with their hands, I saw the video,
Oh, yeah, these guys were up,
Yeah, worshiping God, and he's going to call the police on you, and the guy sitting there, we saw this man when we drove around the corner to get to our parking spot, and we both saw him, and he was sitting by the rock.
Leaning against the rock.
Yep, kind of bent over a little bit.
I think
he
had a little alcohol in him.
Yep, there's a whole lot of them around
here. A lot of them around here.
But he sat and listened. The woman sitting in the middle of the parking lot on a curb sat and listened for probably 20 minutes.
Thank you for saying that. I have a video of this church, and the pastor's up there, and he's all emotional, and he's preaching, and somebody stands on the sidewalk, and they come out, and I'm talking about the gospel, and they'll call the police on you.
Yeah.
I didn't even go in. I didn't open the door. I didn't knock. I just stood there. Watching.
They hate the truth, yeah.
They hate the truth.
Yep, nothing new under the sun.
And that leads us perfectly into our topic today.
It does.
I heard something today that just kind of, I'm a street preacher, I see a lot of stuff, but this one blew my mind. I saw an advertisement for a church, a worldly church, for their Easter celebration coming up, Resurrection Sunday coming up this weekend. Ready? They tell you. You show up here, here's what you can expect. People with signs and happy faces, and here's their quote. Ready? You can belong before you even believe. You can belong before you even believe. They claim to be a Christian church of people that love Christ, but they're telling the world that you belong here, atheist, unbeliever, agnostic, you belong here, even before you believe in Jesus, Brother Akul looked at me and he said, why don't they just have a sign that says all leaven welcome?
Yeah,
all
right.
Sin welcome. I was just blown away when I saw this advertisement. So we decided we're going to talk about it a little bit today. What do you think, Sister Robin?
Yeah, you know.
Exactly do they mean?
Well, just what you said, you know, they'll welcome anybody in there. And, you know, quite honestly, if you want to say it, at least they're honest about it. Everybody who's unregenerated is welcome and they belong there. Because all they're doing is grabbing Christ's name and slapping it on
them. I don't know what Bible to read. I'm going to read some verses.
They don't even read it.
The body of Christ is for the people that are blood-bought of Christ, not for anybody that just walks in the door. By the way, this place is having bounce houses, balloons, barbecue, and helicopters dropping Easter eggs after each service.
Yep. Satan's synagogue. You know, this, the woman I talked to?
This truly is a goat farm.
Yeah, I asked her, I said, man-made religion, who made it? She said, Satan? Satan. She didn't even hesitate.
Yeah, so if you wonder why we go into the world and we talk against and expose churchianity, and we stand outside churchianity to warn our neighbor in love to try to wake up a sheep or two that are standing there, this is why. And we got some scripture verses. I'll go first. Matthew 16:18. Who builds the body of Christ? Here you go. Jesus said, and I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my ecclesia. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He didn't build it on Peter. He built it on him. He's the rock. Jesus is the cornerstone. The Catholics say Peter's the rock, but he's not. He said, I will build my body. They're building their bodies with bounce house balloons, barbecues, inviting just anybody in just
atheists
to fill up the seats.
And yeah, anybody, yep. Yeah. They're building, well, the Satan synagogues, they're filling them all up and
building
bigger and bigger, yeah.
What scripture verses you got for your sisters, Sister Amen?
I have this one, you know, how do you become part of the body? Acts 3:19, repent ye therefore and be converted. That your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord.
You mean you actually have to do something to get into Christ?
Into Christ's body, yeah. Into Satan's synagogues and kingdom.
And this should explain why you'll often hear me say, no, this is just a goat farm, not the sheep of God. The sheep of God are born of the shepherd and they follow the shepherd Jesus. The goats of the world are just worldly people that just line up for the food, for the show, for the music.
Yep.
They accept anybody. Remember, Sister Amin, was it Wyoming or Montana? We got invited to a Baptist Bible study, and I just talked nice and calm, and they threw me out. Why?
Because the atheist got mad.
they were courting an atheist. The guy's a full-blown atheist. They were taking him kayaking, and I preached the gospel and challenged them and said, you got to go deeper. And they said, now you've offended our atheist. You got to go.
They threw
me out of the Bible study because the atheist was offended.
Yeah.
Ouch. How about this? Acts 2:46-47. And they continued daily in one accord in the temple and breaking bread house to house, mm-hmm. did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, having favor with all the people. Here we go. And who? And the Lord added to the ecclesia daily such as should be saved.
I love that.
The Lord calls them. The Lord births them by the Holy Spirit. The Lord adds them. Not pastors, not marketing programs, not better coffee bars and cookie programs and all this swill that they're putting up. The Lord adds to his body. And that's why there's so few, is because few will answer the call to the narrow gate. Many answer the call to the goat farm. Because it's easy. It's a broad road.
Right. And that's exactly where I was going on this one. So you picture, sisters, think about it. Those of you who maybe don't really know or understand or kind of new, I know a lot of the sisters been watching for quite a while. They understand it.
Yep.
But you look at the whole realm of so-called Christianity, and the churches are growing bigger and bigger. Satan is calling all of his people in there, because if you're not a child of God, you're a child of Satan. And God is calling his people out.
Yeah.
And it's a lot smaller than that, like Brother Tupos was saying.
Yeah.
And here I was thinking, in the pagan religions, you get to pick your God.
Yeah.
You get to go around, I want this one, no, I want this.
Like a smorgasbord.
Yeah. But in Christianity, Matthew 5:22-14 tells us, for many are called, but few are chosen.
What verse was that?
Matthew 22.
Oh, I'm sorry, you said Matthew 5.
Oh, I thought I said 22.
No, nope, I just want to get it clear.
Okay, for many are called, but few are chosen.
Yep.
So We don't get to just pick God.
Nope.
What do we do?
Yep.
We have to do what we go do out on the streets. We have to repent. Well, yeah. We have to have faith in Christ and his shed blood. We got to repent, and then we got to be born again, and that's God choosing us to put the Holy Spirit within us.
Yeah, we make ourselves, because of what Christ did and our will bending to him, we make ourselves eligible for salvation, and then God does his act. We don't birth ourselves. God does his act and infuses the Holy Spirit. So it's our will working with God's will, and God says, oh, a vessel that will obey. Acts 5, he gives the Holy Spirit to those who obey him. Not just anybody. He gives it to who obey him.
Yeah, and if you draw near to him, he'll draw near to you.
Amen.
Yeah, so you can't just run around and pick whichever flavor you want, like Satan's creating, like we're talking about.
Yeah, that's a good verse. I got one here. 1 Corinthians 3, 5 through 7. Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers of whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? God gives a measure of faith to every man. That's him calling them. I've planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. I just want to make a note here. Paul didn't plant churches. That's not what we're talking about. You don't plant churches. A church plant. We'll get a building. We'll get programs. What's that?
Is that the verse the church planters use?
Yeah, that's what they say. Okay. They try to use it saying Paul went out and planted churches.
Yeah,
no, Paul preached the gospel, and when people heard it, repented, and were born again, then he discipled people, and God started a body there. So God planted people there. You don't go, you don't know who's going to be. You go to a town, there might be nobody there. You might go to a town, there could be 10 people. Back then, there was more people. Today, there's so few. Today, you're fortunate if you find one, rarely ever, anywhere. But it says, I planted, Apollos watered, God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planted anything, neither is he that watered, but God giveth the increase. Mm-hmm. God rises people up. God adds people to the body. God sends the Holy Spirit. And what a travesty to tell people, you belong here. For this is the body of Christ, the blood-bought saints. But even if you're an atheist or an agnostic, or you're just sampling Jesus, you still belong here. Talk about trampling the blood of Jesus Christ.
That's horrible.
It is. It's terrible.
And you know what will happen? Well, I'm going to read this, and it kind of explains a little bit.
Yep.
This is my last verse. Titus 1, 10 through 13. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake.
Yep, money.
Yeah.
Yep.
Why do they bring in so many people?
Oh, yeah, because...
Cha-ching.
Yeah, because they know Easter brings in a lot of seekers, and they're hoping they stick around and keep putting money in the plate.
Yeah. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean just because you rebuke all those churches that those are Christians in there and they're going to be sound in the faith.
No.
But hopefully they repent and become born again.
Yeah, absolutely.
And come into the faith. Yeah.
Yeah, so we get righteously angry about it because we love our neighbor. We love the Lord. They're not telling people the truth. They're not calling out these lost souls what they need to hear. Mm-hmm. They give them, as we always say, at bounce houses, balloons, barbecues. But they're not preaching the gospel truth. They're not calling these people to repentance because they're not even born again themselves. And they're setting these people on the road to destruction rather than the narrow path to eternal life. Our master said this, Mark 16:16. He that believeth and baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. They're telling these people, you belong here. They're really damned.
Yeah.
How wicked. How unloving. They don't love these people.
That's horrible.
Yet if we preach the gospel to them and tell them they have to repent and turn and lose their life and come out of the world, they say, you're mean.
And hateful and judgmental.
We love them enough to tell them the truth. So we thought we'd share that with you. Why do we stand against churchianity? Ready? Brother Koo had a great observation. He said, the more wicked the culture gets, the more wicked the churches are to keep drawing them.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
And I never even thought about it that way, but he's exactly right.
Yeah.
The more wicked they are, the more decadent they are, the more they have to keep trying to attract them.
We see how terrible it's getting.
We were at a Baptist church not long ago. They want to build a new $3.5 million building, and part of the reason? Bigger Super Bowl parties. It said it right on their website. We can put on bigger Super Bowl parties.
Right, and we're looking at an event coming up in a couple weeks where a church is putting it on, and they're going to have half-naked men beating each other to a pulp.
UFC fighting.
insane.
Wickedness. Absolute wickedness. So hopefully that gives you an idea of the difference between God's holy, set-apart, biblical, gospel-centered people. There are so puny few of them. And all of these goat farms that are pleasing the flesh. Paul warned us, in the last days, itchy ears heaping up for themselves, false teachers. This church has a lady pastor and a husband and wife lady pastor, by the way.
And can I add to that?
By the way, it's not really a church. Well, it's a worldly church. It's not. It's not the ecclesia.
Yeah, they heap up the pastors and the teachers and the preachers, but they also heap up a bunch of people like themselves and flock to each other. Yeah,
we were at a place not long ago, and a guy told me, we're fine, there's a lot more of us than you.
Mm-hmm.
They literally think, the herd mentality, that they're going to be spared from the judgment of God because of safety in numbers. God does not grade on a curve.
They need to go talk to Noah.
Exactly.
Lot.
Yeah.
And
so,
Caleb and Joshua.
Hopefully that edified you. Test whatever body you're involved in if you're a seeker and you're listening. And saints, stay away from these church systems. We don't know one that's fully biblical. And God is coming to judge them and separate out his people. Come out from among them, her. Touch not the unclean thing.
I love that, yeah.
And God says he will receive you. So that's our word to you on that. Tomorrow, we roll down the road to another town, but first we got to get up early. We're going to try to get to bed earlier tonight. We've had a lot of late nights. We got to get up early tomorrow, and we're going to go to the marketplace. We got a lot of stuff to get done online.
Oh, yeah. Lord,
we got a ton of stuff.
We get the day.
Yep,
yeah.
And we're
going to
make the best of the day. And then we're going to hit the road, and then I think we're going to try. I got to get the oil change in the van. I'm going to do it myself. And then we got to try and fly some signs in the next town we're headed to.
I wonder if the landscapers would be out.
I don't know. We'll find out every time
we'll
go.
We'll talk about that tomorrow.
Every time we go to fly signs, yeah, landscapers seem to show up. Or,
yeah.
Or when we set up a little picnic somewhere, the landscapers show up.
Are you trying to do something on the van, I meant?
That's okay. They get the gospel. Oh, yeah, you meant landscapers for the oil change.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, but we'll try to give them the gospel as well, too.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's just good opportunities.
So that's what we got for you today. We hope that was edifying. Anything else, Sister Amen?
Yeah, stay out of those goat farms and seek the kingdom of God.
Yeah, amen.
You know, it's pretty easy. If you read your Bible and you have the Holy Spirit within you, it doesn't take much at all to see those goat farms for what they are.
Yeah, we'll leave it right there. And I would just say to you, ready? Jesus Christ, the manna fell from heaven in the Old Testament. Christ is the bread of life. What are you feasting on in your spiritual life? Forget about your physical life. I hope you eat healthy there. But what are you feasting on in your spiritual life? These church places are filling people up with cotton candy and empty calories. Are you feasting on the word of God? Jesus said we live by every word out of the mouth of God, Matthew 4:4. That's our call to you. Check out don'tperish.com. Check out the gospel. More additions to the Ecclesia page. Because we love God, we love our neighbor.
Amen. Praise
Till next time, and the Lord lets us come to you again. We love you. We care for your souls. Repent and obey the gospel. And may God be praised.